The Mormon Channel presents the 180th General Conference highlights of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Thomas S. Monson.
Now, brothers and sisters, we come here to be instructed and inspired. We welcome those of you who are new in the church. Others of you are struggling with problems, with challenges, with disappointments, with losses. We love you, and we pray for you. Many messages covering a variety of gospel topics will be given during the next 2 days. Those men and women who will speak to you have sought heaven's help concerning the messages they will give. It is my prayer that we may be filled with the Spirit as we listen and learn.
President Boyd K. Packer.
We've done very well in distributing the authority of the priesthood. We have priesthood authority planted nearly everywhere. We have quorums of elders and high priests worldwide. But distributing the authority of the priesthood has raced, I think, ahead of distributing the power of the priesthood. The priesthood does not have the strength that it should have and will not have until the powers of the priesthood is firmly fixed in the families as it should be.
Elder M. Russell Ballard.
Sisters, we, your brethren, cannot do what you were divinely designed to do from the before the foundation of the world. We may try, but we cannot ever hope to replicate your unique gifts. There is nothing in this world as personal, as nurturing, or as life-changing as the influence of a righteous woman.
President Henry B. Eyring.
Heavenly Father has assigned us to a great variety of stations to strengthen and, when needed, to lead travelers to safety. Our most important and powerful assignments are in the family. They are important because the family has the opportunity at the start of a child's life to place feet firmly on the path home. Parents, brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts and uncles are made more powerful guides and rescuers by the bonds of love that are the very nature of a family.
Elder L. Tom Perry.
Parents must bring light and truth into their homes by one family prayer, one scripture study session, one family home evening, one book read aloud, one song, and one family meal at a time. They know that the influence of righteous, consistent, persistent, daily parenting is among the most powerful and sustaining forces for the good in the world. The health of any society, the happiness of the people, their prosperity, and their peace all find common roots in the teaching of children in the home.
Elder D. Todd Christofferson.
Through the scriptures, God does indeed show forth his power to save and exalt his children. By his word, as Alma said, he enlarges our memory, sheds light on falsehood and error, and brings us to repentance and to rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.
Elder David A. Bednar.
I pray for the guidance of the Holy Ghost as I describe a spiritual early warning system that can help parents in Zion to be watchful and discerning concerning their children. This early warning system applies to children of all ages and contains three basic components. One, reading and talking about the Book of Mormon with your children. Two, bearing testimony of gospel truths spontaneously with your children. And three, inviting children as gospel learners to act and not merely be acted upon.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland.
Lust is an unsavory word, and it is certainly an unsavory topic for me to address. But there is good reason why in some traditions it is known as the most deadly of the seven deadly sins. Why is lust such a deadly sin? Well, in addition to the completely spirit-destroying impact it has upon our souls, I think it's a sin because it defiles the highest and holiest relationship God gives us in mortality, the love that a man and a woman have for each other and the desire that couple has to bring children into a family intended to be forever.
Elder Dallin H. Oakes.
Many scriptures teach that the servants of the Lord shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Miracles happen when the authority of the priesthood is used to bless the sick. I have experienced these miracles. As a boy and as a man, I have seen healings as miraculous as any recorded in the scriptures. And so have many of you. There are five parts to the use of priesthood authority to bless the sick. One, the anointing. Two, the sealing of the anointing. Three, faith. Four, the words of the blessing. And five, the will of the Lord.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
My dear brethren, the work of patience boils down to this. Keep the commandments. Trust in God, our Heavenly Father. Serve Him with meekness and Christ-like love. Exercise faith and hope in the Savior. And never give up. The lessons we learn from patience will cultivate our character, lift our lives, and heighten our happiness. They will help us to become worthy priesthood bearers and faithful disciples of our Master, Jesus Christ.
President Henry B. Eyring.
Whenever we remember him, it becomes easier to resist the temptation to want to rest from our priesthood labors. We must have remembered him today, and so we are here to learn our duties, determined to do what we are covenanted to do in all diligence. And because of his example, we will endure to the end of the tasks he gives us in this life and be committed to do the will of his Father forever as he was and is.
President Thomas S. Monson.
Young man, I admonish you to prepare for service as a missionary. There are many tools to help you learn the lessons which will be beneficial to you, as well as helping you to live the life you will need to have lived to be worthy. One such tool is the booklet entitled For the Strength of Youth, published under the direction of the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve. It features standards from the writings and teachings of church leaders and from Scripture, adherence to which will bring the blessings of our Heavenly Father and the guidance of his Son to each of us.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
As we extend our hands and hearts towards others in Christ-like love, something wonderful happens to us. Our own spirits become healed, more refined, and stronger. We become happier, more peaceful, and more receptive to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit.
Elder Richard G. Scott.
Jesus Christ lives. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is a glorious resurrected being. He has the capacity to communicate love that is so powerful, so overwhelming as to surpass the capacity of the human tongue to express adequately. He gave his life to break the bonds of death. His atonement made fully active the plan of happiness of his Father in heaven.
Elder Quinton L. Cook.
President Hinckley taught that our message to the world is that he lives. The symbol of Christ for the Latter-day Saints will be found in the meaningful expression of our faith and the way we live his gospel. As we ponder what it means to be Christians today, think about what our path of discipleship will require of us. I suggest that we contemplate and in appropriate ways emulate what the Savior did in those last 2 days of his mortal life.
President Thomas S. Monson.
My beloved brothers and sisters, in our hour of deepest sorrow, we can receive profound peace from the words of the angel that first Easter morning, "He is not here, for he is risen." He is risen. He is risen. Tell it out with joyful voice. He has burst his 3 days prison. Let the whole wide earth rejoice. Death is conquered. Man is free. Christ has won the victory. As one of his special witnesses on earth today, this glorious Easter Sunday, I declare that this is true in his sacred name, even the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Elder Russell M. Nelson.
When our hearts turn to our ancestors, something changes inside us. We feel part of something greater than ourselves. Our inborn yearnings for family connections are fulfilled when we are linked to our ancestors through sacred ordinances of the temple. Because of the importance of this work, the church has built temples closer to the people, and family history research is being facilitated as never before.
Elder Robert D. Hales.
When we have a family home evening, a family council, or a meaningful gospel conversation with our children, we have the opportunity to look them in the eyes and tell them we love them and that Heavenly Father loves them. In these sacred settings, we can also help them understand deep in their hearts who they are and how fortunate they are to have come to earth to be in our home and to participate in the covenants we've taken in the temple to be a family forever. In every interaction we share, we demonstrate the principles of blessings of the gospel.
Elder Neil L. Anderson.
To fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, and to those without children of their own who lovingly nurture children and youth, my counsel is to speak more frequently about Jesus Christ. In his holy name is great spiritual power. There is no other name given, nor any other way whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ.
President Thomas S. Monson.
My brothers and sisters, today, as we look at the world around us, we're faced with problems which are serious and of great concern to us. The world seems to have slipped from the moorings of safety and drifted from the harbor of peace. Permissiveness, immorality, pornography, dishonesty, and a host of other ills cause many to be tossed about on a sea of sin and crushed on the jagged reefs of lost opportunities, forfeited blessings, and shattered dreams. My counsel for all of us is to look to the lighthouse of the Lord. There is no fog so dense, no night so dark, no gale so strong, no mariner so lost, but what his beacon light can rescue. It beckons through the storms of life. The lighthouse of the Lord sends forth signals readily recognized and never failing.